Good evening, sports fans. My name is Dave Medina, and I am bringing you the world of sports as seen through the eyes of a guy in a little apartment in Santa Barbara. Good morning, sports fans. Good morning, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans.
From the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California.
Welcome to the top five episodes of 2015 special, a special retrospective and part of the 10 years of DiffCow season-long celebration. I'm Dave Medina, and we hope you're enjoying all of these retrospectives. I mean, this is another one, but we are going to look forward to looking back at a year that I thought was when this podcast took it to another level in terms of production values. You're going to hear some things that you hadn't heard before up to that point on the program. Definitely a lot going on there with the, you know, actualities and music and the transitions. There certainly was a lot, even in a world where we already had jingles and we already had music beds and whatever. But this was, I really felt like this was the year where we really upped our game in terms of production values. And you're going to see in 2015 and then going forward, the amount of activity in terms of putting together sounds and sound effects and clips and things. It certainly felt like the show was getting more professional that time around. Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here. That was the opening to the 2015 college football preview I did with John in Connecticut and Ron in New Jersey. And these opens we were doing at the time featured an entire montage of college fight songs, which I was really proud of. We only did it for a couple of years, but I really did think that it pumped us all up for the season. And it got us going to some really good preview shows. Then it brought in the football pick segment, which at the time was called the Kids Club Football Picks. And we'll have more on that later because there are a lot of moments from that season of the football picks. And then called the Kids Club Picks. Well, more on that coming up. But we start with number five on our top five countdown, and that is Canadian Karen's visit to the program in studio. Our friend coach, Andrew Jacobson's girlfriend, and she came in, and we did a spot together for, I think it was about an hour, and we were breaking down a lot of random stuff, but I went with her on a trip to the Anaheim Ducks playoff game against the Winnipeg Jets. And that was a big part of this conversation you'll see here in our fifth best episode of 2015. So here it is, highlights from Canadian Karen on the program from April of that year. And I heard that. I saw the report that the Jets fans were still partying to a good degree, even though they were down 0-3 in the series. And
Dave, we're Canadian. What do you expect? It's a Monday night, and there's hockey, and it's a playoffs. Any excuse to drink is a good excuse.
Even a loss. I dig it. So this is Canadian Karen on the program tonight. And as we mentioned last week, I had the privilege of assisting her with a radio project for CBC Radio Manitoba. And the report was about the fans. It was about guys going to the game here over in Anaheim, not far from where we are here in Santa Monica. And it was really a great experience, and you really, seeing it up close, especially the fans, it's been really, truly amazing. And I understand it was really some new experiences for you, too, as well, being that close to the game.
Yeah, I had never been in the press box reporting from the game, yeah. And so that was a whole unique experience. You got to learn to leave the fan gear at home, though. I got in a little bit of trouble. I got my hand slapped by the NHL and the Ducks and the Jets. They did not appreciate I was wearing my Jets hat and my Jets t-shirt. And yeah, that's a no-no, by the way. If there's aspiring, budding reporters out there, sports reporters, don't look like a fan when you're reporting on the game.
Oh, my.
Lesson number one. But that aside, it was a great experience to see, people from my hometown, fellow reporters and camera people and sports reporters from all over coming, you know, to watch the game. And you know, it's big. It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it's funny, you're talking about fan gear that she had on. What you see in the picture tonight, that is exactly what she wore at the game.
No, I was wearing my other Jets shirt. It wasn't as loud as this one. I was wearing like a little Jets thing, the old logo, but
I gotcha.
Yeah, I was trying to be incognito, but it didn't work.
It gave it away when they scored a goal. We were all jumping up and down.
Yeah, we were pretty excited about that, and we realized we're the only ones jumping up and down. But I got payback for the next game because I was sitting right next to a bunch of overzealous Duck fans with their face painted, and
ooh,
they had those orange blow up nose makers that you like, you know, you hit together.
Yeah.
So they were just so loud, so in your face, that I was like, okay, I get it. I'll never do this again. That was my punishment.
Yeah,
Yeah, you mentioned the fans. What did you think? You were there. You saw the fans that came in from Winnipeg. What did you think of that?
You know, one thing I think about the fans over in Winnipeg, to me, they seemed very humble. And I can't speak for the guys at MTS Center, but the ones at Anaheim were very, very humble. I thought that was really cool. And it just speaks to how much they can appreciate, how much they missed playoff hockey. I totally get it. You know, when the Kings made the playoffs back in 2010, that was the first time they had been to the playoffs since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Long time. So I've certainly can sympathize with that. And so it's really cool. It's really cool to see. And it was great to see them up close too.
Yeah, exactly.
So Canadian Karen joining us. Some more observations from the game that we were at, game number one. I had to give a special shout out to the people behind the kitchens of the Honda Center. Those tacos they had.
You're loving the tacos.
The press level tacos were amazing. I mean, you're talking about like shredded chicken, shredded beef, all the fixings. You know, you had the cheese, you had the sour cream, everything. It was just so good.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed.
I did. You know, I mean, and the cookie. We have the cookie.
Oh, the Stanley Cup cookie. Yeah, they go all out. It's you know, like I said, it's a big deal, and it goes to show you the magnitude of these kinds of events. I mean, there were people from the NHL, the Ducks franchise, the Jets, and you know, I as a novice sports reporter, never covering an event like this, I've done a home opener for the Jets, but this was different. This was a whole other level. So it was neat to be a part of it. The game, you know, I find that the Anaheim-Winnipeg games have been this give and take. Because you remember the first game when they scored a goal? I think, you know, Winnipeg got one.
Right off the bat.
Anaheim, you know, goes to match it. So it's been this sort of give and take, one for one. And at least the Jets haven't, there's been no blowouts. There's been really questionable goals late in the game. Questionable, but no blowouts. So,
right.
You know, we can hold our head up high if we do get a sweep and the Ducks get a sweep and they take game four, we can at least hold our head up high that hopefully it's a close game.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a close game. That's all. I'm so new. I haven't even eaten that In-N-Out burger.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not a big burger fan, but
okay.
I know there's some burger restaurants around here that are supposed to be really good. So maybe I'll have to, you know, break my code and have a burger.
Karen, I'd say do it. You have to have an In-N-Out at least once, even just to try it. And I'm sure maybe you'll be nonplussed by it. You won't think it's that impressive, but it's interesting you bring that up. Today they announced that they are opening a Shake Shack in West Hollywood. At long last, it is here from New York. The Shake Shack opens here in Southern California. That's great.
What is the Shake Shack?
Oh, you've never been?
Okay. No, this is all new to me.
The Shake Shack, and I'm sorry I can't switch the camera back and forth quickly enough, but the Shake Shack is kind of like In-N-Out, but what the difference is they use is bread. That's just, it's the bread, guys. It's the bread. They use this bread that's just so soft. It's like bakery style bread. I don't know if it's brioche or what, but it's definitely different. It's not your standard grade. It's not your standard grade bun. It's just like this super soft, really flaky, crusty bread, and the meat just kind of melts off the bone, and the cheese is good. It's really fresh. It's like In-N-Out. I mean, it's a different flavor, but I love it a lot too.
Yeah.
And they offer you different combinations. Unlike In-N-Out, they can put bacon on it and mushrooms,
right,
and stuff like that. And they have incredible incredible array of shakes. They call them some of them they call frozen custards. So really good.
Well, I think we're bringing some of our French Canadian tradition over here. I've noticed poutine on a lot of the menus. Yep. Do you know what poutine is?
Yep. Poutine, you know, okay, so poutine. Poutine is just a fancy name for gravy.
No, there's more to it than that.
There's more to that?
No, there's the fries.
Okay.
Then there's the cheese curds.
Yeah, the cheese curds.
And then there's the gravy.
Yeah.
You got to get all the combinations right. And, and then you're in heaven. And I know there's only a lot of poutineries open in Canada. I know there's a few chains that have opened up. But I think one of them is coming out here. So keep your eye out for some poutine. It's one of those things you eat. I say I eat it twice a year because you really can't eat it more than that. Because after out dancing, drinking, whatever, it's the best comfort food. But you don't want to have it every day. And you don't want to have it even every week. So
understood. No, I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine having that more than like once a month. So we have a random question for you, Karen. This comes from Kaj Hazarlis.
Oh, that's Kai Hasselreese.
Oh, Kai. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I think I know who this is.
I'm glad you know him because I
messed
this up really badly. Well, his question for you, who's your duck boyfriend?
Oh, because I mentioned my first boyfriend was Timo Solani.
Yep.
Back when I was like 15. So my duck boyfriend, I'm not going to go there because there's no ducks that I would be interested in. My heart is still with the Jets.
All right.
So sorry, Ryan.
Quite an answer.
Brian, all you guys out there, you Mike Stoners.
You've got an
interesting name, Mike, but no, the answer is no. So I'm going to stay true to the Jets. And my boyfriend, of course, is Mark Scheifele.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's get to our next question. We have a few now. Let's see. It's the same guy.
Kai, get off Twitter. Leave room for somebody else. Come on.
You mentioned Disneyland. Have you been?
I've never been to Disneyland. Ooh. I've been to Disney World in Florida, but never Disneyland.
Check it out. You got to check it out sometimes. It's really cool. It's
really trippy, huh?
Trippy's a way to put it. who's your favorite Disney character?
Oh, I think Goofy.
Goofy?
Oh, yeah. Goofy. With those ears and the teeth. Goofy, by far.
Very nice.
Goofy.
I like how you didn't go vanilla on that response.
What would vanilla have been? The Mickey Minnie Mouse?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse.
Goofy's
Minnie
kind of like
Mouse.
Outcast. He's kind of like the dude that's awkward and, you know, he's kind of like...
He's funnier, too.
He is way funnier. He's off to the side doing his stupid little things, always getting into trouble. So, yeah.
Okay, a few more questions with Karen as we close out our hour. All right, Karen, what is your favorite movie?
Whoa, that's a left field question. Sports movie or any movie?
No, any movie.
Any movie.
Do both. We'll do sports movie and
okay,
any
I'll
movie.
Have to do... My favorite movie of all time is, of course, The Sound of Music.
Ooh.
Duh.
Wow.
Yeah, love that movie. Can watch it forever and ever. Favorite sports movie of there's so many, and I'm going to get in trouble for this because there were so many great sports movies that are classic movies, but Moneyball. Love that movie.
So your favorite sports movie, Moneyball? It was not bad. It was...
I loved Moneyball.
I
like
it. Because
you know why? I didn't know what it was about.
Right.
And then, yeah, when I watched it, I loved it. I loved the movie. I loved the concept. I loved it was based on a true story about the team.
Okay. So now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is your favorite TV show of all time, and what is your favorite TV show today?
I didn't know there was going to be 20 questions.
That's what we call random questions.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Okay, favorite TV show of all time?
Yeah. It's hard to say pick one, but you can throw out a couple if you need to.
Oh, my goodness. Favorite TV show of all... There's so many good TV shows on now of all time. So that's like from the past?
All the way back, yep.
Oh, Seinfeld. Sure.
It's a good one.
That's, you know,
oh,
I'm going to play it safe. Sorry. I'll take a left field choice from my second one.
Very nice. Okay.
Was there a second question?
And then the second one is, what's your favorite TV show now? I think I know the answer.
I'm going to do a plug for the show because I love it. Shameless. If you haven't seen it, get it, find it. William H. Macy is amazing in that show. I think it's on Showtime here.
That is Showtime.
Sure.
Yeah, I know
it's not HBO.
The channels are different in each place.
Or Showcase. Showcase. Is that what you guys have here, out here? I'm still on Canadian time.
Showcase.
I don't know.
Wow.
Showtime.
I saw it on YouTube.
It's one of the twos. It's for the show. Shameless.
Something with a show.
Shameless. Best show on TV.
I think it is on Showtime, by the way.
Underrated. And yeah.
Very cool. Number five from our top five countdown of 2015. Random questions with Canadian Karen, featuring, of course, Canadian Karen on the program doing the RQs with the old Dave in the City. That was from April 21st, and a good time. So we're talking about all the crazy things that happened on the program, and many of them occurred during the year of the season of football picks, kids club picks at that time. Now, to give you an idea of where we were coming from and where we were going, this is what the kids club picks open looked like in 2014, the first year of us doing picks together. So let's do it. Podcast picks, kids club. We start week 7. Again, it's really still anybody's game, though. Let me just quickly run down the season standings. Otis is 12-11-1.
Then you see this open.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
Kids Club football picks week number 12. And in week 11, it was John and Connecticut's week. 3-1 last week.
Obviously, it's a very big difference in the way that the everything's presented.
Also, a little more oomph.
But the Rams remain the same, and you're going to hear some of them right now.
LSU, this year, look at the body. Come on, Knicks. We're up 10. Now you're only up 1. Fucking Knicks. Okay. No, I'm just watching the Knicks. You are who you are in the fourth quarter of this NBA game. And I'm sorry I took the Knicks plus 10.5, and now they're in danger of not even covering this. Like, they're just folding like a cheap suit here. Gut it out, Porzingis, Carmelo. Ooh, I'm Carmelo now. I've learned. You've been in the league for like 15 years now. Now you want to be a team player. Now you're embracing passing. Get asked. Wake me up in May when you're actually in the playoffs. He relished being the underdog. He was short, you know, fast, but he just always had a chip on his shoulder, saved his best games for January. Oh, yeah, another clank by Carmelo. but he's good. He's good. I mean, he was really fun to watch with those Carolina teams. You know, it's like him and Jake Delhomme had a love-hate relationship. Oh, there's Porzingis! Clank. This is great. I mean, take another 3. There we go. We made it. Down to 7. Jeez. Classic Knick basketball. They're gelling, though. I wonder what happened. Like, is the Pollyanna fan going to be like, well, they hung in there for 3 quarters against LeBron James? Whatever. I'm venting. I'm sorry.
It just goes to show you don't have to play in a big market. Wait, what was that?
They're giving this game away! They're on like a... The Cleveland's on like a 22-5 run! Just give up the lane! There's Dellavedova and LeBron James dunk! And Robin Lopez, yeah, that's good. That's great defense. Fucking sideshow Bob.
I'll quickly add this update from the NBA. The Cavaliers beat the Knicks 96-86, so it's exactly 10. Which, Andy, is that a push then in your case?
No, Lou DeLang. The Knicks were getting 10.5, so I'm changing my tune. I love the Knicks. I love the intensity. They're so good. I'm so inspired. They should feel good. Things are looking up, and I know they came up a bit short in the fourth quarter.
All right, all's well that ends well, right?
Clown Central. All's well.
Well, now let's take a break from the football for a moment and get to our number 4 episode of 2015. Do the Mets take over the city? A special baseball report. Hosted by Fiddle Elfier, Ari in Philadelphia, and Say Hello to Otis, commenting on the state of the Mets. This was right as the season was winding down. The Mets were having a great year. And back in August, Fids and Otis
broke it all down. It is time for the New York Mets panel, and let's now introduce our friends on the program. Are we in Philadelphia? And say hello to Otis. All right, let's get them into the room with us and start a program. We'll start with Ari. Ari joins us via Skype tonight. How's it going, Ari?
Dave, this music has me pumped up, Dave.
I love it. Calling from the local Hoboken McDonald's, it is Say Hello to Otis. How's it going tonight, Oatman?
Dave, it's going great. That 80s Mets music really firing everybody up.
That's right. Boy, what a time to be a Mets fan. You know, things have turned around, haven't they? They're doing well right now. We'll see if they can keep it continue. So let's talk about what they're doing right now. I mean, obviously, they're still playing tonight's game. But I was just pointing out at the top of the show the trades that they made to get this team to a pretty credible looking offense right now. It's pretty fair to say that's the turning point. Are there any other factors that you think may have turned this Mets ship around? We'll start with Ari with the keys to the Mets surge of late. What do you think have been the factors in addition to the trade and the improved offense?
Well, I'm usually a numbers guy, but I feel like the turning point of the season was the night that Wilmer Flores didn't get traded.
Interesting.
So, I mean, you have this trade where the news breaks on Twitter at about 8 o'clock that the Mets have traded Wilmer Flores and Zach Wheeler to the Brewers for Carlos Gomez. And every tweet on Twitter is like, where can I line up to drive these guys to the airport? Get me Carlos Gomez in here. Get these guys out of here. Carlos Gomez is a legit threat. He's a leadoff hitter. He's a center fielder. He's going to take us to the promised land. An hour passes by, and Terry Collins, for some, at the time, unexplained reason, doesn't take Wilmer Flores out of the game. And Wilmer finds out, while he's standing in the on-deck circle, a fan tells him, I read on Twitter that you got traded. And Flores basically starts to cry. He leaves the field when he's not hitting. He goes into the clubhouse. David Wright apparently goes down the stairs and talks to him. He comes out to shortstop. It's the eighth inning. He's still not out of the game. And at this point, Twitter has completely flipped and said, why is Wilmer Flores still in the game? Terry, get him out of the game. And he's out there at shortstop, and he's basically crying. And he's wiping tears away. And, you know, you're going to have a ball hit at you. But he's there wiping tears away, and wow. And apparently somebody had to tell Terry Collins, hey, Wilmer's crying out there, and Terry's like, why? and the player said, well, he just got traded, and Terry Collins' answer was like, when? To who? Because apparently, as we now know,
right,
the trade was agreed to, but then the Mets pulled out of the trade based apparently on medical information about Carlos Gomez that they didn't like. And so there was no trade, and the team and the fan base rallied around Wilmer Flores because he wanted to be a Met so badly that it made him cry. And, you know, since then, two nights later, he starts at shortstop, and he gets four standing ovations and wins the game with a walk-off against the Nationals. And since then, he's hitting something like .350. And he's a folk hero and a Met for life. And that, to me, is the first turning point. Before that, they had went out and got these bench pieces, Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe. Before that, they were playing guys like Eric Campbell and Danny Munoz and, you know, guys you never heard of who have no business being in the major leagues. These guys were getting big at-bats for the Mets, and they couldn't score at all. I mean, it was night after night when I was posting that picture of Beavis next to his tombstone that says, here lies Beavis, he never scored. And putting hashtag Mets next to that. And it's like, we're never going to score. And that's what it was like every night watching the Mets. And but then they got these, you know, they bring in major league players. These are major league bench players, but they're major league players. And then, you know, faced with the Wilmer Flores fiasco, where you made a big move and then you vetoed it, they had to do something, and they went out and got Cespedes, And at the trade deadline, literally 5 minutes before the trade deadline, they made it happen. And the rest has been history. And it seems like the Mets have been playing great forever. But then you look at the calendar, and it's really only been 25 days.
Yeah, and they actually lost three in a row before they won on that in their little 6-7 run too. But overall, it's been very, very good. They're 28-8 since the trade, so they've really had quite a run so far. And as you mentioned, it's 25 days and 25 days of glory. Now the question is, can they hang on? So let's go to say hello to Otis and let's get your keys to the Mets resurgence. What else would you point to besides from the trades and the other factors that Ari mentioned?
Yeah, it was really weird because it came in like two waves. The same day that they finally decided to bring up the young Conforto, everyone's all pumped up about that. Anytime you bring up a young, big time hitter, people are going to get pumped up. And they finally made a bold move for once, and they brought the kid up. And on the same day, like Ari mentioned, they made the Uribe trade and the Johnson trade. So they were basically bringing up three major league hitters to a lineup that had maybe two at the time. And that's being pretty generous, I feel, because Duda wasn't really a major league hitter then. He was in a deep slump. And really, I guess Murphy would have been the other guy, but they just didn't have players in that lineup. And to bring in three guys who could actually swing and give your pitchers a run or two, that was kind of the start of, oh, well, maybe if we score four runs in a game, that'll be like something that can get us going. And that kind of was the first wave, but everyone was waiting after that. I know I was, because that move was not going to be enough. And Ari did a great job breaking down that whole Wilmer Flores fiasco. But I think the bigger thing that happened was they realized then that if they didn't do something, if they didn't make a move, and I guess they left themselves, 5 minutes to spare? If they didn't make a move that day, this city and every bit of the media was going to destroy them. Mm-hmm. And they made the Cespedes move that night. America's favorite hero, Wilmer Flores, hit the game-winning home run in one of the most stunning baseball moments I've seen in a long time. Just to watch him hit that home run was unbelievable. And that night was the second turning point. And since then, it's just been an unbelievable roll that they've been on. Great pitching constantly. Now they're scoring double-digit runs a game. I mean, it's just been really crazy since then. But and again, Ari said it, it's been 25 days. It seems like it's been 3 months. But, yeah, I think those two kind of waves really just sent two big punches out there. And the other really big thing was that when the Mets hit their skid, they got very lucky that the Nationals were just completely inept during six-game stretch, and they didn't lose any of the ground that they had built up. So that was another huge factor.
Definitely a huge factor. I mean, Ari and I have talked about the Nationals in pretty good depth over the previous few podcasts, and we were just wondering whether they were ever going to turn it around and start to take command of that division, and they just never did it. They never did it. And it's interesting because both the Mets and the Nationals have pretty good rotations. I think that was a great opportunity for the Mets, and the Mets have really taken charge. And that's great because similar to what I've seen with Kershaw and Greinke over at the Dodgers, the Mets rotation is so good that it would be such a shame if they were not able to parlay that into wins. And so this movement in the front office has been a huge boost. And thankfully, it panned out too, because like, you can make trades like that, and maybe Cespedes hits like 200 for that entire time. But that didn't happen. He's hitting pretty well, and the Mets really have gotten a lot of pieces together. So, Ari, some more about the Mets and their contributing factors. How did schedule play into it? How did the fact that the Nationals didn't do so well play into it? And how important is it now that the offense has support? Do you feel like the Mets rotation could be the best in the National League?
It could be. Right now they've got Bartolo Colon in it, and he's dragging down the numbers. But the other four guys, and you know, you don't think of John Neese as an elite pitcher, but he's been really good this year. Syndergaard has been amazing, especially at home. And DeGrom, until Monday, had an ERA under 2. And Matt Harvey's Matt Harvey, and he's kind of been Matt Harvey this year, despite coming right back from injury. So yeah, I mean, they're up there. You know, it depends on what numbers you look at, but you know, they're up there. They're in the top couple. And that's what kept them in it. I mean, I think, and they were barely in it. If you look at, Fangraphs has these probabilities that they post, in their standings, and everybody makes fun of them because they change every day. And of course they change every day because life changes every day. But if you look at the probabilities of winning the division on July 31st, the day of the trade deadline, it says Nationals 83.1%, Mets 16.8%.
Wow.
So these teams, and what you hear is these teams, if they get below 10%, they don't buy at the deadline, they sell. And the Mets were at 16%, so just barely there.
Wow.
At 53-50, wow. Two games behind, but considered to be way low in talent versus the Nationals. At that time, the predicted rest of season winning percentage for the Mets was 523, and for the Nats was 580. And so Fangraphs, as of the day of the trade deadline, had the Nats beating the Mets in the division by 5 games as their prediction. And it was only a 16.8% chance that they were going to win. And so, you know, if the pitching hadn't been amazing, because the offense was dreadful, so if the pitching hadn't been as good as it was, and they weren't 53-50, and instead they were 51-52, they're not making these moves. They're saying it's time, you know, we're packing it in and we're going for next year. And now look at them. The Nationals absolutely fell off a cliff, and they now have, I think, still the biggest lead in the National League and the second biggest lead in baseball of all the 6 division winners. They're now half a game up on the Dodgers, which means if the season ended today, they would host that playoff series. And it's just amazing what 26 days has done.
That's number 4 from our top 5 episodes of 2015. Do the Mets take over the city with Philadelphia and say hello to Otis? I am Dave Medina, just to remind you, and we're continuing our top 5 episodes of 2015 here in the city. And still to come, a visit from the Junkman, both from far and from very near. Let us now take a look at what's going on in pop music. It is time for Dave and Junkie to count down the top 10. So on, here we go for the month of September, the year 2015. And as usual, some of the very lame pop music stylings of the day make the top 10. But I am happy to report that falling out of the top 10 this week, Junkman, Taylor Swift. So we will not be hearing from her,
man,
in this countdown. You're so disappointed.
That is heartbreaking. That is a heartbreaker.
Yeah. No, well, too bad. So we'll tell you what the top 10 is then in that case, and we'll give you some other top 10 trivia coming up later in this half hour. And don't forget, at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Jacob Rosales, and we will do the NFL preview for the year 2015. So let's start. Let's begin with number 10 on the Billboard top 10. And you know what, Junkie? This lady was trying to make a fight for quite a long time, but we didn't know what the point of it was. So at number 10 this week on the Billboard, number 10. Rachel Platten once again. So she pulls a couple of spots over the course of the month to number 10. But she's still fighting, man. She's fighting. Look at all that fight she's got. So Rachel Platten, number 10.
I mean, that song fell a few spots. It sounds more like she's drowning than she's fighting.
Not a fair fight. I mean, it's not a winning fight for her. who probably will get the loss. All right, so that was number 10. Now, as we continue our top 10 countdown, from the Billboard Hot 100, number 9. Audio production. So here it is, Junkman. This is, you heard this one last month too. Trap Queen from Fetty Wap. From the Fetty Wap. Remember that computer?
The video game song.
Yeah, the video game song. That's it.
Yeah.
Fetty Wap's got an interesting month on the countdown. He's going to be, you're going to hear from him again pretty soon. So he's getting pretty popular, but not as popular as one really enormous sensation that's just taken over the country. We'll get to that in a minute. So there you go. Trap Queen number 9 on the Hot 100 this month for September. All right. Thoughts? Anything?
I think it's actually sort of genius on some of these guys to recreate video game sounds that people enjoyed and played when they were young, because they immediately hear that on the radio and they don't turn it off right away because it reminds them of when they were, 8 years old, playing video games. So it's not a terrible theory.
Interesting.
I'm waiting for them to sample, the theme for like 10-yard fight or Donkey Kong or something cool like that, or even Pac-Man. That would be a huge hit. I'm sure someone's already thought about
it. No, it's been done. That was done. That was done. That was done back when it came out, like 30 was as old as me, 33 years ago. Let's stop the countdown for a second. I gotta play this. I gotta play this. So give me a second. I'm gonna get it on YouTube. Hang on, because it was so long ago that it was on record. So like you have to actually find it on YouTube because they don't have it on CD. So. Give me a sec, I got it. I bought the whole album, too, one time at a used record store. It was really good. So let me play that for you now. Yeah, because you're thinking, wait, they should sample Pac-Man? The universe was way ahead of your time on that one. Let me see if I have the right version, though. Let me just double-check. One second here. Hang on, let's see if there's an ad first. Remember this?
Oh my god, I've never heard this. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm bringing everything on me.
I got a callus on my finger and my shoulder's hurting too. Do you remember doing this stuff? I'm gonna eat them all up just as soon as they turn blue. Cause I got Pac-Man fever.
Pac-Man fever.
It's driving me crazy. Pac-Man Fever from 1982. The artist Buckner and Garcia. One hit wonder.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So that's not a hit, Dave. That can't be a one hit wonder. You have to actually have a hit.
It was a hit.
It was a hit.
It peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1982.
Wow.
Yeah. Top 10 hit.
I have never heard of that ever.
I don't think a lot of people have, but if you live through the video game art, the era of video games, like the old style video games, it was a scene, man. Video games were taking over.
Yeah, I did not live in that world, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was before my time too. I wasn't even born when it came out.
Well, no, I lived in the world in '82, just not in the video game world.
Got you. Well, I mean, I was born when it was out, but when it was made, I was not. It was very close, because I was born in May, and I think May, it peaked in April of '82, but it was still in the countdown in May. That's what I remember.
Yeah, I mean, when I was that age, I had calluses on my fingers and my shoulder hurt because my dad was in psycho and made me stay in the batting cage for like 9 hours.
Oh, okay. I was worried there. I was worried, because I thought you were going to say, because he was whooping your ass with those. But I was like,
No.
Okay, that's not so bad. That's not so bad.
It was just, yeah, it was batting cages and those kind of fly balls and batting practice.
Okay. So some bonus footage. That was when Junkie and I were trying to do a top 10 countdown every week during random questions. The what was it? We called it the top 10 songs of the week. It's called Dave and Junkie Countdown the Top 10. And that was really fun. Unfortunately, copyright issues with the music forced us to stop doing it. Naturally, the RIAA and the powers that be really didn't enjoy us using copyrighted music on the podcast. And it was even worse when you tried to put it on YouTube, because instantly the episode would get shut down and muted, and we'd be threatened to take it off. So after like 2 weeks, we had to stop. But it was really fun for like those 2 weeks. It was a good show. It was like the show within the show. But yeah, naturally fleeting. One of the reasons I love it is because I get to do music history. Big fan of pop music history anyway. But back to the countdown of our own top five episodes of 2015. Number three is Mexi Cap and Lou Hoboken. Let's go, Max. He's one of the posters on the MikeFrancesa.com. Really nice guy. And he and everybody knows that he has connections with various people in his neighborhood. But he's a very fun guy to talk to. And when we had him on the podcast a couple of times, he really brought the juice. And similarly, he's trying to do a show with Lou and Hoboken and me. And Cap is calling in from the stands at the Yankees game. It was a bit of a train wreck, but we had a lot of fun with it. So here is number three in our top five of 2015. The Mex Man! How's it going, man?
Hey! I'm in the city. What's happening, bro?
I'm fine. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hope you're enjoying the summertime.
It's great to be back enjoying the summertime. Actually, I'm going to put a little plug in for Dave in Dave Dining in the city, because I'm stopping now on the road to pick up some nice sliders.
Ooh.
At La Tavola Cucina, which you get a nice Kobe beef sliders with a little chicken, also some chicken sliders, all good stuff. So Mexi's going to have a little sliders tonight.
Oh, that sounds great.
So how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. The summer's really in full swing. I just had a vacation to the Pacific Northwest. I stopped in Portland. I traveled by the car all the way up there. I rented a car. It was really a smooth ride. It was really great. I'm back here, caught up in some baseball, and we'll be doing a little bit more of catching up on baseball tonight, bracing ourselves for the football season too. So life is good. And not much else to say.
It's great to be back on the show with your 50,000 plus listeners on YouTube and everything else. I'm so honored to be back on again.
I appreciate that. It's more like 50 listeners, to be fair, but I'm enjoying it, though. I'm enjoying the program, and it's definitely a lot of fun. So,
wait a second. You sent me a text saying there was 50,000 plus people on here. You're saying there's 50?
Well,
I'm gonna have to drop off here. I was on hold so long. I thought I was calling my cable company.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
DirecTV, for God's sake.
This is one of the funny things about starting a show so early. I start the show at 6 o'clock on the West Coast, so and then the computers have to boot up, and it takes a while to do that. So unfortunately, we started a little late tonight. And YouTube, welcome to the program. We are a little late tonight too. We have YouTube starting later than usual. So thank you for joining us a little bit midstream. You did not miss much. We're just getting started. Let's go to our other guests of the program tonight. First, let's go to Lou in Hoboken. Lou, what's going on, my friend?
Dave, you got me?
Yeah, I got you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Just, I think the intro and stuff must have changed since the last time I called in. I wasn't sure if I was actually connected, if I was just listening. Well, but how's it going, Dave?
Great to
talk to you, Jim.
Yeah, great.
Wake the hell up, Lou, will you please, for God's sake?
it's early yet.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Let's go to our third guest.
I wake up at night.
Our third guest tonight is Jerry in Piscataway, who apparently is in the stands at the Yankee game. Jerry, welcome to the program. How are you tonight?
Dave, what's going on, man? I'm sitting in the right field bleachers at Yankee Stadium.
What? We can hear you fine. Is it just like quiet in there? Is it a dead crowd or something? I was expecting it to be really noisy. How are you doing?
No, I mean, good, man. I'd be a lot better if the score was different, but the crowd has had some juice tonight, man. It's a lot more electric than I thought. I was in the city earlier today. A lot of people with their Yankee gear on, their pumped. So hopefully they can find a way to pull this one out. I thought Severino was awesome. You know, he threw too many pitches, but that's fine. I thought he was great. He only gave up 2 hits, 7 Ks. But, yeah, man, I'm hoping that we can somehow, put some runs up on the board and take this game away.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's a great debut for the kid. I mean, he had a perfect first inning. What a start for Luis Cervino.
Come on, Adam!
What? Did something happen? Lou, can any update on that game? It's 2-1 Red Sox right now.
It's 2-1 Boston. This is hilarious because I'm hearing this. I'm hearing him yelling to play, and I'm a slight delay watching on TV at home.
That's
short looping fly ball into left center, caught by Ellsbury, one out, top of the eight.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good.
As all of your listeners are like, why the hell am I listening to three people talk about a baseball game on a podcast that's going on currently that I could be watching on TV?
That's funny. We do have our moments of doing an exact play-by-play. Let's go back to Mexi for a minute. So, Mex, man, what has your summer been like? What have your travels been doing other than this great dining experience you're about
Attaboy.
To do?
Well, David, what we've been doing... What? All right. Who's that, Lou again? Or is that Jerry?
Jerry's actually at the game, so we'll be hearing from him commenting on the game since he's actually in the stands while he's calling us tonight. So go ahead. Let's hear a little bit more about your travels.
Summer's been great. We're down at Jersey Shore. We're going to be down there, I think, on the 28th at Bar A. We're going to get everybody locked in. Just spent about a week ago down at Jersey Shore at the house.
Wow. So
it's all been good. It's been a great summer. Went out to Miami one time, shipped out to San Diego for a couple of days. It's all been good.
Oh, San Diego.
Next time I go out to L.A., I got...
Nice.
In San Diego. Love San Diego.
I love it, too.
Good friend of mine who's a in the Marines, is a colonel, just retired, so I went out for his retirement ceremony. It was tremendous. Tremendous.
Gorgeous.
All good.
Gorgeous.
All good.
That's cool, man. Yeah.
And on top of that, drank a lot of wine. Not all tonight, a little bit tonight, but drank a lot of wine.
Do you have any favorite wines? Like anything that catches your attention more? Like any style of wine that does it for you?
Well, in the summer, it's all rosé. It's all light whites. So you can sit out in the hot weather, have a little wine, not worry about it too much. I'm going to tell you for your 50,000 plus.
No, I can't do that, Terry.
I'm
no,
sorry.
He's talking about the game. He's commenting on the he's watching the Yankee game at the same time. So when he says like no, or fuck you, he's not talking about you. He's talking about the game.
David, I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid. I understand that, bitch. Come on, bro. Here for your 50,000 plus listeners on YouTube and everything else, I'm going to give you a great pick for the summer. It's a wine called Monopole, M-O-N-O-P-O-L-E. It's about $11 a bottle.
Nice.
It's a white Rioja coming out of Spain. It is tremendous. You're going to sit down a hot day, even not a hot day. It's a great, light, crisp wine. It's a white Rioja, which is very unique. It's a great wine. Tremendous.
Beautiful. Oh gosh, I love the crisp wines, and I had the privilege of having a Chardonnay and a rosé as well in the Napa Valley, the Russian River Valley to be precise. And Monopole sounds great. I look forward to trying that out. And Spain has got a nice share of wine. It doesn't really get talked about as much as France, perhaps, or maybe it does now. I mean, I'm not up on the wine scene, but they're really good wine though.
The beauty of the wine coming out of Spain, and Lou's falling asleep over there. Lou, wake up. The beauty of the wine coming out of Spain is it's about a third of the price of coming out of France and Napa Valley. So like I said, this is a 93-point wine you can get for $11 a bottle. It's tremendous.
92 points. That's a serious rating. Because I looked at that website too, and it's like that's good. That's pretty cool. All right, so let's go, Mex. Joining us tonight, the Mex man, with us on the program with Lou and Cap, and we'll get to Cap in a minute. But Lou first. Lou, before we get into our baseball talk, what have you been up to this summer? What's the summer been like for you?
A whole lot of working and a whole lot of drinking.
Nice.
Rinse and repeat. That's about it.
Okay.
All right. I'm hitting that age where all my friends are getting engaged and married kind of all at the same time. So
Oh, wow.
bachelor party in Montreal like a month ago. I got one coming up in 2 weeks in New Orleans. Then I have Vegas like 2 weeks after that. So all my trips are basically revolving around other people. Not that I'm complaining, because those are three pretty good places to go in span of.
And no pressure either, right? Like, are you in the wedding as like a best man or anything on any of those?
I'm in one of them as a groomsman, and one of them, I'm, believe it or not, actually, like, they signed me up to be, like, some sort of ordained minister, and I'm actually, like, performing the ceremony.
You're going to do it. You're going to actually wed the people.
Yeah, I got to try to not curse while I do it. But besides that, yeah, that's kind of cool. And then one of the other weddings, I just kind of get to go and hang out.
Nice.
So
nice.
I get a little bit of everything.
I love it. All right, so
yeah,
now
outside of that, just working my ass off, but that's life.
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of the game. I mean, how long have you been at your current position now, like at wherever you're working?
Come on, John.
I've been
in
my current company 4 years.
Come on, but I'm taking over a new group,
so it's like a lot of transition work, a lot of training people, and that sort of stuff. It's like you can never get your own work done, you know. But
right,
it's okay.
I hear you. No, that's good. I got
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully, it all. Pays off come December, if you know what I mean.
Oh, promotion time or bonus time. Which is?
And bonus time.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Very cool.
So we'll see. Enough about me.
Very good, very good. Now let's go to Jerry, who he's just in the middle of all sorts of stuff. Jerry, can you hear us?
John Ryan Murphy blooped a single into left field.
Oh.
Let me call you guys back.
Okay. No problem. We'll hear from you in a little bit. All right, so that's it for Jerry right now.
Come on, you're coming!
This is very entertaining to me, but let's take a look at that game. Let's see. Where are we at with that? You said there was a bloop single, but who's that bat right now?
Yankees. The bottom of the eighth just started, so man on first, nobody out.
Got you. Okay. Oh, it's games on ESPN.
Just for the record, Mets 7-0 over the Marlins, okay?
Hey, listen, the Mets are in first place. They're
second hottest team in baseball, second only to the Phillies in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, these guys have been...
You can't beat the friggin' Phillies these days.
That's number three in our top five episodes of 2015. Mexi, Cap, and Lou, MLB second half predictions. And a good time. It was kind of wild, but we got through some fun banter about various topics. That episode from August the 5th of that year.
Regarding Lynch, who cares? Everyone is going to talk about it. Everyone is talking about it. Tommy talked about it. Dave just talked about it. He is exactly who he is at this point. He doesn't like to talk. People get angry about it. He pays for it, obviously. Fine. What was he going to do today? Was he going to address each reporter by first and last name and become something that he's not? Oh, thank you for the question. Well, right now I have mad respect for the Patriots defensive line, and it'll be really tough. You know, they have schemes that we've never seen before in the NFC West, and that'll be my goal between now and Sunday to exploit that. He's not going to give you that type of answer. So anyone expecting that answer is just lost. So... He always, he did his phrase, same phrase over and over again today. Like, he's done that. He did that like three other times here with the local people. So, whatever.
Now we move into number two on our countdown of the top five of 2015. And there's no doubt that this rant was certainly among the very tops of the 2015 rants. And really, not just for football, but just for anything. I mean, it was in the Mount Rushmore of Ditka rants of that season. And so here it is from the UCLA versus Arizona preview podcast, football picks week, whatever that was. It was Ron in New Jersey ripping Rutgers to shreds over a very, very weak decision.
Yeah, Dave, let's discuss this titanic matchup at noon on Saturday between Kansas and Rutgers.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
We should show that game to our prisoners of war to get them to talk, because that is going to be the most beautiful game on the schedule. Holy shit, I feel bad for people forced to go to that. That is just awful.
All right. Very well said.
Dave,
States, can I make a point about Rucker?
All right.
To emphasize how right John is, last week Rutgers played Penn State in a primetime game with some guy who they found on the street to coach the team. I'm not sure who he was, but down 21-0 in the fourth quarter with like a fourth and goal on the one, they kicked a field goal. This guy kicked a motherfucking field goal down 21-0. I mean, they fire everybody, disband the fucking program, and start over. I mean, what the fuck? If you are a fan of Rutgers football, what does that tell you when you're kicking a goddamn field goal down 21-0 in the fourth quarter against your supposed biggest rival? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
It doesn't get any worse than that.
It really doesn't. That's a white flag right there. You may as well just take an E. That's nuts. That's bad. Any word from Petey on this game? Anyone here? Any intel on him? Big feet? Tailgate? No? Okay. Let's go.
Sorry, Dave. Just one second. I'm just finishing typing a letter here. Thank you, Ms. Herman, for completely destroying the program. I will no longer have season tickets. Sincerely yours, Petey. Send. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Number two from our countdown of the top five of 2015. UCLA versus Arizona preview. Ron in New Jersey rips Rutgers for kicking a field goal down 23-0 against Penn State. A memorable clip that we will remember forever, and just part of the long legacy of football picks podcasts that we do here in the city.
I don't know. I still like the Red Sox. I also want to note that,
I do too. I'll just being clear. But
I want to note that Cap ran through the entire Yankee lineup, but he left out one guy. And,
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about here.
And his name is Alex Rodriguez. Yeah.
I like to try and forget about him because I like to try and forget that. It's hard to forget about him when I'm getting Bleacher Report updates on my phone. I see the Red Sox sign Yan Moncada. I get a Bleacher Report update. Alex Rodriguez hit 6 home runs out of 71 swings in batting practice. I don't give a shit. Are you kidding me? I want to pound my head against the wall. The Red Sox just signed one of the biggest prospects that I've wanted for in years, and I'm getting Bleacher Report updates about what Alex Rodriguez is doing in batting practice and how the Yankees are mad at him showing up early. I mean, it's just a sideshow with him. They're two franchises that go in totally different directions. The Red Sox have their minds focused on a championship, and the Yankees have their minds focused on the saga that is Alex Rodriguez. I mean, it is an absolute joke.
We made it. We're up to the number one episode of 2015 in our DidCat retrospective, and it is the week that Junkman came over to my apartment, and we did the show together doing random questions in studio, and the episode was Tom Brady Suspended, Random Questions, and after many months of hosting Random Questions via the telephone, Kevin on the Cape comes in for the first time in person. It was a really great moment meeting him. And he was just, and it was a great, and he always says to me that was one of the highlights of his lifetime too. It was really great. You know, he's been a good friend for a long time, and to finally meet him in person that year on May the 13th, truly a personal highlight, a personal apex for the year for sure. It was really great. I got to meet his fiance and now wife, Suni. It was pretty awesome overall. So, Kevin on the Cape and me in the studio doing the show. Here's some highlights from that episode back in May 2015.
Here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show here in the Dave in the City studio, Walks of the Week Radio. It is more special than usual tonight, and I'm very happy now to introduce to you for the first time in studio, for the first time in person here in Santa Monica, our friend Kevin on the Cape to tell us all about everything in sports and everything else going on. Kev, great to hear you for the first time here in the building. How's it going?
Glad to be here, Dave.
Oh, yeah, one more thing.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Now try that. Try that again.
Glad to be here, Dave. Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I love it. I love it. I love it so much. I love it. It's the best. Kevin, let me just ask you quickly. You're here. Well, first of all, just to tell you about the program tonight, Kevin will be our guest. If you want to chat with us, 424-258-9251. This is now your first look, America, at Kevin on the Cape. Here he is after a long, wonderful trip across the country. Tell us a little bit about yourself, this your story here. You quit the seafood market and you've embarked on a new journey. What inspired this change of your life?
I'm going to write a book about that, so I'm not entirely sure I should release all the information. There's going to be a book about changes, making it, you know, the different tough decisions, spur of the moment decisions versus well thought out things. But when it comes down to it, it was just time to do something different, and this opportunity came along and we took it.
I like it, man. It's you know, a lot of guys find themselves trapped in their lives because you know, you just get hunks weighed down by your daily obligations. You've made the rare move of breaking free of that. You did it before with NBC Sports. You've done it again here. I'm really mesmerized by the whole affair, and I'm rooting for you, buddy. I really am.
That's what the book's going to be about, Dave. So you can write the foreword. It sounds like you got an idea.
Hey,
of
all
what
right.
We're talking about.
You know, I'd be happy to. I'd be honored. That, you know, if more people knew about you, Junkie, I really think that you would. I think you really would be quite a sensation. I mean, if people knew what you were up to on YouTube, you would be getting major hits on the YouTube.
I do currently have 22 followers on my Instagram page, which is only 3 days old. So we're working on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that is amazing. 22 followers after like what? Just hours?
Sunday. So.
So like two days.
Yeah, 3 days.
3 days.
Or maybe a couple more days. It could be a week. I'm not really sure. The last 10 days has been kind of head spinning. We made this decision 3 days before we left.
Wow.
So that was,
developed quite quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah. Good times. And how has it been so far on this trip? Like, what are the highlights? We talked about it a little bit off air before we got onto the show, but what are the highlights so far of your food truck journey?
Highlight: Albuquerque was the first highlight. That was gorgeous.
Oh,
I was totally
nice.
Surprised by that town. That was gorgeous.
Did you watch Breaking Bad? I mean, we've talked about this.
I did not.
You did not. But,
I have not.
Yeah, but I think that's cool that you can appreciate it even without the without the show, like Pepper, because it was set in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, good stuff.
And so far, really, the highlights are the people that I've met, just the different towns, the different people we've been worked with so far, the people who, you know, the guy who helped fix our food truck this morning and the day before, just great people.
Yeah.
So that's definitely been the highlight as far as, and then California in general has been unbelievable.
I'm glad you like it, man. It's I'm very fortunate to live here, and I think it's inevitable that anyone would take that for granted. And it's always, for me, I live for the moments where people from out of the area come here for the first time, or even if not for the first time in a while, see all the sights and just get a real feel for the inherent beauty here of Southern California, or just any part of California. I mean, California is just a beautiful place.
It's been, I called it a few times sensory overload. I couldn't stop looking and running my mouth about the stuff I was seeing and...
Yeah.
San Diego was nice, but when we got up here, starting Monday, which also happened to be my birthday, and had the day off to go up to, I'll probably pronounce most of your towns wrong, but the Santa Ynez Valley.
No, you got it
right.
Good?
All right.
That's
nice.
Perfect. That is right. Is right on.
That was Monday, and it was three different vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
Just one, you know, great people, great wine. I, in my whole life, never really got or understood wine or liked wine. Every glass of wine I've ever had in my entire life, I thought tasted the same. Until Monday. And you're drinking the wine that's grown right on the premises, things like that. And then we had dinner in Santa Barbara after walking around that town, and that was
Wow.
I know I'm supposed to, where I grew up in New York, and now I lived in Massachusetts, sort of trained to not want to like California.
Yeah.
Like, the people that we grew up around, California was always the other coast, and there were so many people and all that kind of stuff, but it's been amazing. I don't want to leave California right now. I've broke it to the girlfriend, because I don't think... I told her, I was like, I know you don't want me to like this as much as I am, but I love this entire town. This Southern California is just it's just unbelievable.
You know, it's something that you've said to me that you've always dreamed of, going to California and being a part of this culture, and it just thrills me to the bone that you're now in on it. I mean, and it's just the beginning. I hope that this is the first of many trips out here, and maybe even eventually a life here. So
yeah, I was excited that the Santa Barbara thing kind of was really got me going, and then you know, you look in the real estate magazine and you see how the condos were $900,000, and that was a little disheartening. But if there's a way to figure it out, I'll figure it out
for sure. Kev, in Santa Barbara, what restaurant do you remember? What restaurant you went to? Because I know almost all of them from my 4 years there. Where were you at that? Where did you have your meal that night?
Dinner was a place called June.
Okay, I don't remember
which
that
was,
place. But
right, of course. Oh, sure, yeah, sure, that's how it works.
But we don't really...
One of the best parts about the last 2 weeks is we don't over-plan every destination or, you know... I mean, sure, we look on the internet for different areas. You don't want to get stuck in a shady kind of neighborhood, especially if you're from out of town, but we don't say we're gonna have to have dinner here, we're going to this. It's just sort of, we walk around, a place looks good, we pick it.
Right.
And that's what we did with that night. We just walked past it. She looked at the menu in the window, and I looked around, and it was a small place, but they sat right down, and we just got there right before it got the dinner rush, and it was great. People were nice, the food was great, the beer was good.
Oh, what kind of beer did you have?
It was a DBA Firestone, I think it was called.
The Firestone's great. I'm a big fan.
Trying to stick to the local stuff.
That's definitely as local as you can get with Santa Barbara, because that's brewed up. I forget exactly where, but it's in the county for sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's terrific. I grew up. I mean, that was my bread and butter beer when I lived it down there. Firestone was great.
Yeah.
DBA is a good choice. Yeah. A lot of good choices. They have a lot of ones. Like, they have DBA. They've got the regular Firestone. The one I've been into now is a much darker version called the Wookie Jack. I discovered this in a place near me called Father's Office. And when I talk about, like, near me, I mean, like, it's, like, right... It's seriously, like, around the corner from where we are right now. Like, it would take us, like, literally 2 minutes to get there.
That's fantastic.
With walking. Right. Yeah. So you're in good hands with Firestone. That's a great choice. Great choice. Good stuff. Well, this is our friend Kevin on the Cape. He needs no introduction, but I give him one anyway. I mean, I wanted to just thank you for since I have you here, I want to thank you for the 4 great years doing this program. This has been really what it's all about. I mean, you are my co-host. I don't really have it any other way at this point. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a blast. And we've had those shows where we can go the whole 2 hours, and it is really not a problem because we've just got enough to talk about.
My girlfriend left Santa Monica to go visit friends, and she immediately looked up on her phone, and there was just red lines in the GPS indicating traffic both ways to go. So she was a little nervous about that. So I think she's probably experiencing it, or had experienced it in the last few hours. I have yet to experience anything out of a normal, nothing crazy at all, which is, maybe I'm just lucky that way.
You know, it's, I'd say cherish it then.
Yeah.
Cherish these moments, because I don't think it's only a matter of time, I think. I don't know how much longer you're in the area, but probably only a matter of time before it hits
you. It probably has a lot to do with being off you know, they build in a few off days for us. So I've been off for these 2 days. So I'm not in a rush to get anywhere. Ah. So I sort of take it as it comes, even if there is a little traffic. The next 4 days when we're working, we've got to get product in one spot and prep it and get to another spot. That might start to rear its ugly head and I may have a minor meltdown.
Could happen. And I've had plenty of meltdowns myself. Quickly from the box, here's a question from our friend Lubsies on the board.
Nice.
His question, he actually wants to see the story behind the box that's holding your mic. That box is the box for the clock on our wall. And I needed to put the microphone higher so that he didn't have to reach too far down like a hunchback to speak into the microphone. So that's just to elevate the mic.
Yeah, I'm a little taller than the average Californian. So we need a little extra height here with the microphone.
It helps a lot, so no doubt. This also went from our friend Lubsies. He asks, in the kitchen you're now in, what would be... So in the kitchen, that means a kitchen behind you, Chuckman. In this kitchen, what would be an ideal seafood meal you would prepare for a lady love? And assume that there are proper ingredients in the fridge.
I have to cook for a girl in your apartment? Is that the question? Because that'd be weird.
Well,
would you be here? Like, leave? I don't understand. He has a grill, ladies and gentlemen, so I would probably do something outside.
So let's just say that you had it for this weekend. All right, so let's say that you had it for this weekend and your lady was here spending the day with you.
Oh, grill, we would go out. Yeah, like I said, I see the grill out there, so that would be just an elaborate fish taco thing with all of the, what I find too, which is amazing out here, is just all the produce and all the vegetables, everything being grown so close.
Yep.
It's just so much better. It's, you know, it's obvious, you know,
right.
You're eating or drinking something that's grown in the area, it's going to be better. So the fresh produce, fish tacos on the grill, not fried or anything, would be the way to go.
Fish tacos sound good right now too, but, I can't remember exactly what was a slam dunk for fish tacos in Santa Monica, per se, but in L.A., and especially in San Diego, fish tacos are the best. So good. Did you ever have a fish taco in San Diego when you were down there?
I did not.
Oh, they say that that's their go-to. Apparently, the fish taco is the best thing they got going down.
Really?
Yeah, I heard that. Now, I had one, and I enjoyed it. The other thing that they've got going is a burrito they call the California burrito, where they decide to... It's basically a carne asada burrito, but they put the French fries in the burrito and guacamole and maybe some sour cream, and it's terrific. That's the other big thing that they have in San Diego.
That seems a little excessive. The French fries in the burrito, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, consider this. Let's say that you do that instead of the rice. I think that's what they do.
Okay.
So it's actually kind of a wash.
Yeah. I go with the rice. I don't want French
fries. The rice is still healthier, though.
Yeah, I don't want French fries in my burrito.
All right. I'd like it, though, personally. But they also have carne asada fries, which is like the fries without the tortilla. So it's a... but the fish tacos, I like them. I like those as well. Very good. And fish tacos anywhere are good. On a grill, oh.
Yeah.
That's just it's a terrific idea.
Absolutely.
I like it. All right, let's see. Any more questions? At DidCal for a question tonight, if you have a question for us. Random questions with Kevin on the Cape right here on your screen or on the podcast. A request to make more popcorn. Let's see. Anything else? Let's see. I'm checking all my sources tonight. A lot of sources. Nope, nothing here. Let me check the other account. Nope, nothing. Okay, so we'll continue. All right, so... Fish tacos are good. My gosh. I'm stuck on the fish tacos. Right. That's just so good.
Yeah, Dave has left the building. He's in fish taco world.
that just sounds amazing. Let's see. Okay, so my next question then is about produce. Yeah, okay. It's not even a question. I'm just remarking about the peach quality right now. It's pretty dismal. The drought has been terrible to peaches, and peaches are practically extinct right now. They finally brought some in, and I'll tell you, they are good, but they're not. It's gotten off to a really late start this year, the peach season. I mean, we're talking May, and this is the first real peaches we've even had locally. So, and I'll say this too. I feel like Georgia peaches are better than California peaches. I've had the Georgia peaches in New York City. For whatever reason, the Georgia peaches will not travel that far. They won't go all the way to California. That's too bad, because they're really
good. There is good news. The second vineyard we went to was also a working farm.
Yeah.
Buttonwood Winery and Farm, I think it was called. And on behind the bar of the tasting bar they were at was their first peach of the season.
Oh.
So this farm has peaches and all sorts of different kinds of fruit, and they make their own preserves and jams and things like that.
Okay.
And she very proudly showed me the first peach. It was a little small, but it was the first one.
Do you have a picture?
I do not.
Ah.
I don't carry... I'm not the social media guy you are yet. I have my iPad here.
Right.
It sort of fits in your pocket, but it's kind of bulky, so it's a little annoying. So I didn't have it on me then.
Okay.
So I didn't take a picture of the peach. However, she said a couple weeks they're going to start, and it should go through the summer. They're very excited up there.
Oh, gosh.
So that's a little far from here, but I'm sure they'll make their way down.
It's not that far, though. I mean, it's in the state, which to me is huge. So that, you know, that's big. It's kind of like getting... It's like you broke news here. It's like breaking news about the peach.
Literally, I looked to my girlfriend and said, I can't wait to tell Dave this. There's a peach. And, sadly, I didn't take a picture of the peach. I should have. It's one of my regrets.
That's all right. It's all right. Well, I have some regrets, too, certainly. But you know, they're not anything serious. So with that peach, the peach season could soon be in hand. I'm very excited about this.
I think you're going to have a good season. It's late, but I think you're going to... Everything's late. All the weather across the entire country has been ridiculous. So
yeah, you're right.
Things are going to be late. I think it was Billy Madison when the guy... They do the thing on the stage at the end, and the guy says, everyone in the audience is now dumber for listening to that. I always think of that when I listen to any sort of Joe Beningo rant on that. I always just think, oh, I can't believe that was 5 minutes. I'm never going to get that back.
I really didn't pick up on just how dense he was until the last couple years. And he's so dense. I mean, the caller called in this today. He said that, how could Henrik Lundqvist be called the king? The caller said this. How could Henrik Lundqvist be called the king if he doesn't win a championship? You can't be a king unless you win a title. And I just thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. Joe responds, well, you're not wrong, bro. And it's like, yes, he is. What are you talking about?
His answers are ridiculous. And even sometimes when you do listen and Evan is making a pretty good point, and he's using... making a really good argument with his opinion, with the facts, putting things together, and then you just get this mind-numbingly dumb response from his partner, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and just the air comes right out of the room.
Yeah, it's rough, man. Just a quick refresher for all of you. This is Kevin on the Cape, who we're with tonight. I'm Dave Medina, and for those who've been following the show from the beginning, you've known the two of us really through everything, through the good, through the bad. Haven't been too much bad. It was mostly good. And it's been a real honor for me to have him here. Unfortunately, no Coach. I thought Coach would be here tonight in the building just to say hello, and Canadian Karen too. But no, not happening. So for the moment, it's just the two of us. But I will, after the show, I will text him and ask him where he is, because I a couple things. I got a number one. I got to see if we can meet. But number two... I need to know if he needs the parking spot, because my car is in the parking spot in the carport right now. I got to figure that out, because if he needs it, then I got to move my car.
The parking spot?
Yeah, there's only one.
So how do you choose who gets it?
Usually the rule of the parking spot is that the latest one in gets the spot. So whoever's last to the neighborhood gets the spot. It's a fair rule. I think it's a fair rule.
I got it. Yeah, because the first guy home has a better chance of finding a spot.
Always.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Now, the only problem is if he comes in now while I'm doing the show, well, he's screwed because I can't move the car now. I'm broadcasting to tens of people here. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's a certain precedent.
Yeah. So I'll see what about this text. If that's him, then I just have to tell him I'm sorry. God, this text from Mike in North Jersey. God damn it, Vid. It's totally my fault.
The parking space?
No. This is Mike in North Jersey over in New Jersey. Because I got to show you the text. Because right here, where is it? Oh, yeah. So the text, remember the text I wrote? I wrote a text and it said, if you change the ending to an even shittier ending, does it still count? And then Panther pretty much warned me, you basically implied, I'm going to mush the team, and I totally did.
Right.
Yeah. So he's like just texting back.
Yeah.
He hates the Rangers.
Really?
Yeah, he's a Devils fan.
That was the number one episode of 2015, Tom Brady Suspended Random Questions. Kevin on the Cape did Random Questions in studio for the first time. Really awesome. Good to meet him. And it was a lot of fun. It was really great. And the time just flew by. That episode from May the 13th. That's going to do it for our countdown, the special retrospective, the top five episodes of 2015. We hope you really enjoyed it. And we hope you keep listening to our podcast. All of our episodes are at DidCow.com. And you can also look for us on the feed in Apple Podcasts. Look for Dave in the City Out West. On Twitter, we're at DidCow. I'm Dave Medina. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. We'll see you next time.